Erica Harold is on the line with this morning. She is one of two Republican candidates for the Attorney General's office, and I really do appreciate you making time in your schedule on short notice, by the way. Thanks.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
You know, the time is coming, boy, Tuesday, and it's coming up fast. I bet you have a busy weekend.
I have an extraordinarily busy weekend. I have five things today, and I actually don't look at the schedule until the next day. So there are many events. You take each one at a time, but it's your opportunity to make your closing argument to voters why they should select you as their next Attorney General.
And you know what? It's interesting because as this selection comes on and the number of candidates in both Republican and Democratic Party, of course, stunning number of Democrats, making the outcome a great deal more uncertain because of the sheer number. But here are just two. The people who have reached out to me about Attorney General, and I bet you 9 out of 10, I kid you not, Erica, it's about why doesn't our Attorney General do more about a state that has a reputation of such renown for corruption? That's got to be number one on people's minds when they talk to me.
It absolutely is, and that's why I got in this race. I was actually the only Republican to get in this race while Lisa Madigan was still in the race, and I got in to take on the Madigan machine because I thought conflicts of interest were preventing her from taking the proactive, aggressive action she needed to do to root out public corruption, and people deserve an Attorney General who will do that, and that's why I'm in the race.
But, you know, and at the same time, people are disturbed that sometimes it seems as though the Attorney General of the state of Illinois is an arm of the resist group when it comes to Donald Trump.
It's very true. You see the Attorney General signing on with all of these other states resisting federal policy, but that's not the job of the Attorney General. The job of the Attorney General is to enforce the law and to make sure that the state is not involved in political lawsuits. Obviously, if the federal government exceeds the scope of its discretion, then the Attorney General has to do something. But what we've seen, by and large, is an Attorney General that's involving the state in political fights, not legally meritorious ones.
And if you wanted to hold up an example of a topic, I think number one would probably be immigration, wouldn't it?
There are a host of ones. A lot of them are when the federal government is trying to roll back regulations where it's clear they have the ability to do that. And that's why you don't want to do a lot of things by executive order. And if the federal government had the ability to do it in the first place, then the next administration certainly has the ability to roll it back. And it's not the job of the Attorney General to be picking political winners and losers.
Immigration and voting is becoming an increasing subject when it comes to coast.
Yeah.
You know, the term that is, you know, now, and of course, I think this came because of Laura Ingraham on Fox, because she didn't want to call it a sanctuary state. She's got other names for it, and it's starting to catch on. But sanctuary state seems to be the popular term for Illinois now.
Well, the problem that Illinois and so many other states have is that the federal government is not doing its job. It's the federal government's job to set and enforce federal immigration policy. And when they don't choose to act, they leave states and cities in a position of trying to figure out how to address that. And it can, at best, only be a Band-Aid solution. And that's why it's very important that the federal government does its job.
You know, one of the things that I was talking with a couple of judges in particular about, and some friends who don't have legal experience as well, that the law is not made to stop people from doing something. The law is made to outline the punishment if you do.
True. The law has very many purposes. Sometimes our Constitution makes sure that the government does not infringe on citizens' rights, and that's very important to me. The law also sets penalties, but it's important that the law be upheld, because when penalties aren't enforced and when the Constitution's not respected, then it actually undermines people's respect for the rule of law generally, and we need to be a state of law.
And selective enforcement of law is that way lies madness and chaos. I think we can agree on that pretty easily, right?
Absolutely. When you're selectively enforcing the law, that's lawless.
Now, I was kind of curious. Yesterday, your opponent was on the air with me at approximately this time yesterday, and he was very outspoken, saying you're unqualified because of your background, lack of background in litigation in particular.
I have a very strong background in litigation. I've practiced at some of the most respected law firms in the world in their litigation departments, And every newspaper that has evaluated our qualifications, our vision, and our electability, every single newspaper has endorsed me over him. And every single Republican organization, whether they be supporting the governor or his opponent, Jeannie Ives, they have also endorsed me over him. And it's because people see that the scope of my litigation experience, my electability, and my vision for this office is makes me the superior candidate. Because not only do I want to focus on public corruption, the workers' compensation system, the opioid epidemic, criminal justice reform, making sure that our state is enforcing the law. And I got in this race when Lisa Madigan was still there. She dropped out of the race a month after I entered because I think she understood I was going to be a formidable opponent with a clear vision for this office.
All right, we're already running out of time, and I'm trying to slip two more questions here to you because one of the other items is, and I've been trying to do some rough math on this and have been very unsuccessful, about how much as money has been stolen from consumers in the state of Illinois ID theft. You see some general ideas. I don't think anybody knows the number, and whatever you see published, it's probably higher. And that's one of the, according to the statistics supplied by the current Attorney General, consumer fraud, ID theft is number one when it comes to people calling that office needing help.
It's hugely important. I've actually been meeting with people on that issue because not only do we need to help people when they're prevent identity theft, we need to help them remedy the situation if someone has stolen their identity, because that's actually the much more pressing issue. How do you rectify it once somebody has actually targeted you in that way? And I'll be laying out some great proposals on what we can do and how businesses need to be more proactive in helping people who have been victims of identity theft. It should not just fall to the individual to spend countless hours and countless thousands of dollars trying to fix something that was never their fault to begin with.
I've got 40 seconds for you remaining. Erica Harold, Republican candidate for Attorney General. If this is the last time you get a chance to talk to someone before they go in the booth, why Erica Harold?
I'm in this race because I want to be a fighter for people who need a voice. In my background, I've had experiences where I felt powerless and voiceless. It's what made me decide to become an attorney, and it's what made me decide to run for the office of Attorney General. I want to make sure that I'm fighting for every region of the state, making sure that everyone's interests, whether it's Chicago or Southern Illinois or Central Illinois, they're represented. I'm from downstate Illinois. I have a Harvard Law degree, and I will use those tools to be able to fight for people who need a chance in a state that too often seems stacked against them.